Hello, this is Gonzalo Suarez from the 8th edition of Festancha, and I'm here with Tom Moore. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you.
Tom, first of all, you were part of the international jury in this festival. How do you see the future of animation now that you've seen a good load of short films by different young animators around the world?
Yeah, it's exciting to see different techniques and even different subject matter being explored. Some of the filmmakers were, yeah, very young, and also we had some established filmmakers doing really exciting films, so it was a great selection.
You also held a masterclass here about Song of the Sea. What did you actually tell the public here?
Well, I never liked the word masterclass. I don't think I'm a master, but I explained what we did and how we made the movie. It was really to give a little insight for other animated filmmakers who might like to make a feature animation about the process that we took to make our movie.
Is it possible to make profitable animation? I ask it because one of the contenders for the last Oscar nomination that you had, it was the Japanese film from the Hayao Miyazaki's Studio Ghibli. They said that they used a 49 million euros budget, but it was a huge failure because they only managed to earn 22 million euros in their own country. So I guess that even for Oscar nominees, making profitable animation is really hard.
I think that's the big challenge. I mean, festivals and awards and things are great for raising the awareness and so the public know about the movies. But if you're not part of a huge corporation like Disney or DreamWorks, it's quite challenging to get distribution. But we've been really lucky with Song of the Sea. We actually had quite a big success in Poland and the Czech Republic. And we're really looking forward to releasing it in other territories. And we have our fingers crossed that maybe this one can be profitable, you know.
Including your own territory, because yeah, the release is going to be now. It's actually very weird that you're releasing the film in Ireland and the UK like 6 months later than in France and Belgium.
Yeah, and next week is the release in Ireland. So I'm really hopeful that Irish audiences will have heard about the movie, heard all the good news about the movie, all the good feedback from the audience and different awards and nominations, and they'll give it a chance in the UK and Ireland. So let's see.
Why did you choose to make an international slash European co-production instead of maybe taking profit out of the first Oscar nomination that you got for The Secret of Girls and maybe trying to do a more Hollywood style movie?
I think if you're going to make a Hollywood style movie, it's better to go to Hollywood and work in those studios. I kind of made a decision early on that if I was going to stay independent, I wanted to offer something really different to audiences. Although I really respect and admire the work that they do in the Hollywood studios, I think it's a very, very specialized type of product that they create. And what we wanted to do was something a little bit different, and that's easier to do with a European co-production and a kind of independent funding method.
Doesn't it make the work harder? I mean, in terms of transporting all the different stuff that you make around the countries?
Yeah, and we became more and more adept at digital production. It is hard to do a European co-production, but it's also a way to have a lot of artistic freedom and a way for small studios to team up and make something bigger than they could make on their own. So I think it's worth the difficulties.
Do you plan to continue taking profit out of these independents that maybe you've got out of the Oscar nominations? Is that what you actually got from becoming an international success after the Oscar nominations?
Yeah, for me it was kind of a choice. I could cash in my chips and go and take a job in a big studio. But the more people I met who worked in the studios, the more they encouraged me to keep going on the independent way. And they said, as long as you can survive making your own movies, then you're kind of living the dream. And so I had to take that wisdom and internalize it. And it made me realize that I'm much better off making my own movies in my own studio than trying to go and be part of a big corporate production.
You choose to do 2D animation and not CGI animation. Is it like an eternal choice for you? Or, among the different kinds of 2D animation, are you going to stick to the same way of doing it? Or are you going to explore different territories as the other person that enjoyed here, a retrospective Brick Barn, did?
Yeah, I'm pretty interested to see how far I can push 2D animation. 2D animation has kind of become our brand. It's what people recognize us for. I like to draw, I like to paint, so it's kind of what I like to do. And also, I think 2D animation has a certain timelessness. It doesn't really date the way CG. CG is kind of subject to the fact that the technology moves really fast. So if you look at a CG movie from the early 90s, even if the story is great, like Toy Story or Bug's Life, it looks kind of old-fashioned already. Whereas for me, when I look at a movie like Bambi or The Jungle Book, it has a freshness because 2D animation is still as fresh as when the drawings were made. So it doesn't date in the same way. So I like that about 2D animation. And when I saw The Tale of Princess Kaguya, the other Oscar nomination this year, I thought that was really exciting because they took hand-drawn animation and they did something really special. They used the language of the lion to tell the story, and that's not something I've really explored yet, so I want to try and do that in my next films.
What are your next films?
Well, my next film is called The Wolfwalkers. I'm going to co-direct it with Ross Stewart, who's an old friend of mine. He was the art director on Secret of Kells, and we've been thinking about it and developing it for a few years now, so I guess that's going to be our next film. It's also Irish folklore set in like the 1600s, so it feels like something that we still have something to say, but also something that we're pretty confident that we can do a good job with, and so we're going to really push as much as we can the art direction and the storytelling.
You always tackle Irish folklore. Is it because you think that it has become something as a tourist attraction in Ireland, or is it something that maybe you have to reinvent throughout stories that you tell through animation?
Yeah, I think they continue to be reinvented and keeps them kind of relevant, but I'm glad that our studio isn't limited. If it's something that I'm exploring, it doesn't mean that the other directors are in the same vein. So, for example, Nora Toomey is directing the next feature film from Cartoon Saloon, which is completely different. It's set in Afghanistan in 2001. It's an adaptation of a novel for young readers, and it's about a little girl who has to pretend to be a boy so she can provide for her family. So she's gone really far from the Irish folklore, whereas for me, I still have at least one more movie where I want to explore this stuff, and then I expect that a younger generation will want to do something completely opposite to what I do, and they will reinvent it again, and that's how it should be, you know.
Thank you very much, Tom Moore.
Thanks a lot, sir.
You're listening to Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.